Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike. That's Doug.
Dude, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, dude.
Hey, I got good news for you. The Sharks delivered a turkey early.
They sure did. This is episode 75. And for our Diamond Jubilee episode, the Sharks decide to cough up 7 goals, start the game, and end up losing 7-2 at home in their first regulation loss of the season. Where do you start with this?
I've been watching the Food Network a lot in preparation for Thanksgiving tomorrow. And, you know, sometimes you see when they're preparing a bird and they tuck the legs behind them and they kind of, you know, open the cavity and they stuff it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Blackhawks did to the Sharks tonight.
Yeah. Without getting too graphic.
Well, I think that was pretty graphic.
Yeah, that was graphic enough. Thank you.
Open the cavity and stuffing it?
Yes. That's not to mention they started the game by giving up 3 shorthanded goals in a row. 2 of them on the same power play. So
what's wrong with that?
I remember writing the Sharks a memo about this early in the season, and I distinctly remember telling them, do not give up 3 shorthanded goals to start the season, and they didn't even listen to me.
2? Okay.
Yeah.
3?
Come on.
Crossing the line.
3? Jeez, get out.
Tonight was like sort of like the Twilight Zone all around.
It really was.
The Very game surreal. was pretty horrible, although the last 5 minutes, great effort.
Yeah. Yeah, that was after Chicago had basically, as you put it, already boarded the airplane, essentially.
Yeah, I said the Blackhawks had mentally boarded the plane already. I mean, they looked like they were ready to go home.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once the Sharks finally got on the board from Dan Boyle, you know, they kept pressing a little bit to get a little bit of pride back. But it was a rough game against, you know, you can't take anything away from the competition, right?
No. I mean, I wrote on the blog today, we knew this is the class of the West, the second best team in the West in terms of points. They certainly look like the best team in the West tonight. So that's the question that was sort of rolling around in my head between Chicago goals, which is to say, I didn't have a lot of time to think about it, but the question is this a fluke? Is this the Sharks having a bad night and Chicago taking advantage? Or is this the Sharks just being thoroughly outclassed by a better team?
I'm going to go more towards the former because I think the Blackhawks and Sharks are even. Mm-hmm. I think it's an even matchup. You could go down the row of each line and pick it apart. And you know, I think we've talked about and made it pretty clear that the Blackhawks' major weakness is goaltending, which, you know, tonight, you know, he wasn't challenged really much at all.
No.
I mean, he made some saves, but he didn't make like a big save or anything. You know, that they played, you couldn't even get a shot to the net.
That's right. The Blackhawks are number one in the NHL in shots allowed. So, you know, maybe that's the reason why they haven't had to look to Huey that much is because he hasn't frankly seen that much rubber. He hasn't had a steady diet of rubber. I know you love that phrase.
The Sharks couldn't even really get through the neutral zone
for a lot of the
game. So as far as the effort tonight, the Sharks got outplayed and outcoached for sure.
Yes.
And, you know, the thing, was there a little bit of hard luck involved? Yeah, I think so. 3 shorthanded goals in the same period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is ridiculous for a team that's as good as the Sharks to give that up. I mean, that's not going to happen again.
I wanted to put this in some perspective. So I was looking at some of the all-time Sharks stinkers of recent history.
Right.
Sharks lost at Joe Louis Arena last year, 6-0. Okay. Joe Louis, every Sharks fan knows, Sharks don't have exactly a great record at Joe Louis Arena. They had, 4 wins and 30-some-odd tries? Not great. Okay. You and I remember this game, we lost 7-1 to Buffalo at home. I was trying to find the
2006,
worst. 2007.
2007.
The another December game, the Joe Louis loss was also December, 7-1. But in that game,
we were a little early this year.
A little early. The Sharks scored first in that game, though, so they were never
in the Buffalo game.
In the Buffalo game, they scored one, and then they gave up seven in a row.
What's worse?
Tonight, because they were down 7-0. I'd say tonight was worse.
So it's not more demoralizing to be ahead and then lose.
No, they
just lose.
No, because they were never in this game. They weren't in this game until, you know, 5 minutes left.
Right.
So, okay, then I had to go back. Some Sharks fans may remember the 8-0 pasting in Phoenix in 2006.
I remember listening to that game on the radio. I was at, true confessions here, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I was, my wife was out of town. I went to the drive-in movies with some Taco Bravo nachos, and I sat there and listened to the game, and I was watching the new Rocky movie.
Whoa, that's a weird evening, dude.
Dude, I'm being given true confessions here tonight. I'm putting it all on the table, and I was disgusted by their effort and by the nachos.
I feel like I'm in a Dr. Drew reality show.
Do you want to do an intervention?
Maybe I should. Rocky movie, dude? Oh, anyway.
And not the nachos.
Yeah, no,
and not the drive-in movies.
Nachos
the Rocky.
Are awesome.
Listen, it was the new Rocky movie, dude.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So keep going.
Sharks lost 9-3. Versus Ottawa in 2002. They were down 8-1 at the time, so they at some point in the game, so they were down by 7. Okay, still not quite as bad in my book. I have to go back to 1995 to find a home loss this bad. They lost 9-1 versus Pittsburgh on November 10th, 1995. I even found the box score.
How many points did Mario Lemieux have that night?
That's oh, see, know. That's a good question. Okay, so let me see.
I bet you he had... Do you have 5 or 6?
Okay. He assisted on the first goal. Let's see. The Sharks scored the second goal.
Who scored?
Kevin Miller?
Yeah, Kevin Miller.
Yeah.
Former Pittsburgh Penguin.
Or you think of Kevin Stevens. No. Associated by Owen Nolan and Ray Shepard. Then Ron Francis scored 2 in a row. Lemieux assisted on the second one. Tomas Sandstrom. I remember Tomas Sandstrom very well. Also assisted by Mario Lemieux. Then Jágr had another goal. Then Nedved had unassisted. Then Naslin was assisted by Lemieux.
That's 4 points.
And then Ron Francis had a hat trick that night. He had a third goal assisted by Jágr. And then Lemieux had a goal, the last goal.
That's 5 points.
Yeah, so he had a 5-point night for Mario Lemieux in 1995.
He always used to murder us.
Yeah. So that was the last... I have to be, in all honesty, that was the last... home loss that was as bad as this one, because I would not compare the Buffalo loss to this one. This one was worse.
Kevin Miller. Sharks traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins. I remembered that. I just looked it up in 1996.
Actually, here's another analogy here. Arthur Urbay played the first two periods of that game. You know who came up in relief?
Ooh,
for Arthur
Urbay? Brian Hayward?
Nope. That's after Brian Hayward's time. This is 95.
Was it, who's the GM of Brian Lawton?
Brian Lawton wasn't a goalie.
Oh, I don't know. Who was it?
Dude, he's still in the Sharks organization in a way.
Wade Flaherty,
dude.
China Sharks.
That's right. China Sharks GM, coach, and player, I think.
Well, if you're still listening after all of this, dude, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
We saw Marian Hossa make his debut tonight.
Yes.
All right. He looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, 2 goals.
So where does the Hossa Toews Kane line rank for you as far as like top lines in the league? Top three?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Hossa continues to play this way, I mean, Toews and I mean, Kane.
Aren't they a little undersized? I mean, is that going to hurt them?
It hasn't hurt Kane so far. He seems to be able to get around anybody he needs to get around.
Why didn't the Sharks put their giant first line head-to-head with them more tonight? Because they really didn't, I don't think. Did they?
They kind of did. I mean, they were Thornton, Healy, and Boyle were all -4.
Yeah, but were they out there for...
I mean, that must have been the shorties, right? So they were out against the shorties.
How many times... You know, so the shorty, were they out there for every shorty?
I'm gonna have to look that up. They must have been. That's going to be a hard stat to find, but we could find it. But yeah, you look at the Sharks box score, there's more minuses than a General Motors quarterly report. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Nice.
Everybody is minus. Everybody. Not a single person's plus. Actually, no. Fraser McLaren's plus.
Good for him.
Yeah. Played 6 minutes.
Good for him.
Grice.
Right, I've got the shorties right here. I can tell you that Joe was out there. Boyle was out there. Heatley was out there for the first one. For the second one, they were not out there. And I'm sorry. They were out there for 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. So good for them.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Way to be consistent.
Although one I'd put squarely on the shoulders of Ken Huskins, although I hate to be a jerk about it. There's plenty of blame to go around. I just happened to remember it because Huskins was skating backwards at the point. Puck was passed to him. He waited to try and get a shot. And Hossa was gaining on him the whole time. He was coasting backwards looking for a slap shot. Hossa poked it off his stick, went in on a breakaway and scored.
Out of those three, and I'm not, tonight was not Nabby's fault, but doesn't he have to make one of those saves, dude?
I would hope, yeah.
I mean, when he got beat on the first goal.
Yeah.
On the glove.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was a good shot.
It was a good shot, but out of the three, I mean, on the third one, it looked like a Three Stooges movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he just got completely worked on the third goal. I mean, he's got to make one of those stops. Now, one-on-one, that is not Nabby's thing.
No, it's not. I mean, we talked about, I think, last week how bad Nabby's been in the shootout, which is essentially a one-on-one game. I mean, Nabby is third worst in NHL history in the shootout, but that's mostly because he's played a lot more shootout games than most goaltenders. But still, I mean, it illustrates the point. Nabby isn't the greatest one-on-one goaltender. Not that Greiss was awesome in relief. He gave up 3 goals on 9 shots, but at least 2 of those were not his fault, I didn't think. I mean, the third one especially, I mean, that was the one passed right across the crease, wide open net. No one was taking the guy in the back door. I mean, there's nothing Greiss can do about that.
What'd you just say?
You heard me.
So, dude, we talked about this, I think it was last week, with the extensions for Keith and Kane and Taze on the horizon. And if they have to announce those, they're going to have to move some of these guys because no one's going to take QA.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that? Why would you mess with this team right now? Why not wait and do the extensions in the off season? They're good. I mean, why would you subtract Versteeg or Brouwer or Sharp or Bufflin? I mean, if you have to, or Barker, you have to lose 2 of those guys. It's going to hurt.
I guess to get something in return, right?
Well, I can't see how they're going to get equal value.
Mm-hmm.
If I were the Blackhawks, I wouldn't change anything right now, and I would deal with it in the off season. So
yeah, they're definitely.
But I listen. Let's be clear. I hope they screw it up. And I've also said, you know, I think they will.
Right.
I think they're gonna mess it up. You know, just based on some of the moves that they've made. I want to make one more comment, dude. Before we move on.
Yeah. Good.
The Worcester Shuttle guys tonight were totally useless.
Yes.
Those guys, they've been going back and forth, and we've also talked about this. So, you know, I don't know when they arrived, you know, Zaleski and Ferriero,
mm-hmm.
And Callahan didn't play.
Right.
But, dude, I'm getting kind of tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I got to give a shout out to Evil Ducks because he's posted on David Pollock's blog, giving you a shout out, dude, about this. Because this is something that you figured out, that the Sharks have had a faster and more busy shuttle than any other team in the Pacific by a huge margin. And, you know, it's a question for the management. I mean, why are they shipping these guys 3,000 miles at a pop to come in, play a few minutes, and in the case tonight, play badly, right?
I mean, non-factor.
I
mean, Zaleski didn't really even see the ice until the third period when he was all of a sudden magically playing with Joe and right. Heatley, you know, in garbage minutes, but they're not, you know, he's not able to contribute anything.
No.
I mean, he's not able to contribute anything. And Ferriero has really cooled off.
Yes.
So, you know, I know Couture was ill, you know, so where are we with this? Like, until the guys get back, I mean, these are not guys that are going to be on the team right now, but I just don't understand. I'm fine with them being up here. They need to be here. We need guys playing their spot, but do they need to, like, after every game, do they need to get on a flight and leave?
Yeah.
How is that helping
them? How's
that helping the team?
It's not. It's becoming clear that it's not really helping anything. I'm not sure what it's for. I mean, I guess it's for salary cap relief. That's the only thing it can be for. Because the Sharks get a little bit of space here without guys on the roster. But it doesn't seem like it's really, it's certainly a detriment. You know,
right.
you would hope it would be just, even you ship these guys around and it doesn't really help, it doesn't really hurt. Well, it looks like it's hurting right now, right?
Is this the rivalry of the future, dude? Blackhawks, Sharks?
It could be.
It could be the rivalry of today.
It's the rivalry of the West for now, that's for sure, especially after tonight.
Two best teams in the West.
Yeah, certainly. And
right now they've got the upper hand.
Well, the question is, you know, the thing that makes rivalries is playoff matchups. We'll see if that comes to light. The other thing is that if these teams manage to keep their roster as it is, I mean, we've already talked about the fact that they may be able to sign all their players, but the Sharks have those same kinds of questions with Setoguchi and Pavelski and now Marlowe and Nabby, Marlowe and Nabby unrestricted. So, you know, if these teams can stay together and then play on the playoffs, then yeah, there could be a real burgeoning rivalry here, I hope.
And they certainly didn't make any friends at the tank tonight, dude.
No, no. A lot of people left. A lot of people left early. So that, it wasn't a good night at the tank.
No, all around.
Not at all. Not at all.
We had some other weird experiences tonight. Yeah. We were supposed to, we got an email from a fan who were supposed to meet at the first period. And we went and we're going to meet this gentleman who will remain nameless.
I've been drinking. Have you?
Huh? No, I'm just drinking water.
Nice, dude.
But his name rhymes with Carson. And so we waited for him and we couldn't find him. Now, I mean, there were a lot of people over by where we were. So, right. You know, hopefully, you know, email us again and we'll try and hook up with you at the next game. But I kind of felt like I was on the show, like for the love of Ray J.
Yeah.
You know, and I was standing there and I felt like I was on a blind date.
What's your favorite place to make whoopee?
I know. I felt like I kind of was like being like hung out to, like we were like two like dudes standing there, like looking for some other mystery dude.
Right.
So we couldn't find him.
Well, you know, trying to find a guy in a Sharks jersey at a Sharks game is kind of tough.
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Especially when you don't know what he looks like.
And then, you know, our good friend who also has season tickets had bought seats down in section 101.
Mm-hmm.
And they left early and rightfully so because the game was horrible.
Right.
And they gave us the tickets, dude. These are the best seats I think I've ever sat in.
Definitely the best I've ever sat in. Row 11, 101. So basically 11 rows behind the Blackhawk bench.
Oh, it was sweet. We had a great view of goals 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah. Really amazing view of those. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was funny watching Dan Boyle score the first goal and like there was no celebration at all. Yeah, he basically like sighed and grimaced after he scored, which was funny. So yeah, that was
Do we have anything positive to talk about?
Dude, we're gonna be on the radio in 2 weeks.
That's right.
December 6th. Okay, so listeners and readers of our blog, mark this down. We're going to have a 2-hour radio show on 1220 AM, which you're also going to be able to stream over the web. It's not that strong of an AM signal, so you may want to try to stream it over the web. But the point is that we're going to need callers to call into the radio show. And I'll give you the phone number right now. It's 1-800-516-1220. 1220 AM, 1220.
A live show, dude.
A live radio show. We're working on interviews for the show. We're going to have a gambit of things that we're going to talk about on the show. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be like Dudes on Hockey, but for 2 hours with live input from you all. So I'm working on, I may do a little trivia contest, give away a Dudes on Hockey t-shirt.
Nice.
I think I may give a t-shirt to maybe the best phone call of the
night.
I like
that. Yes.
So I'm thinking of some things. So mark it down. Call us on the phone. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. So I hope everybody will want to participate in it with our radio debut, as it were.
Dude, you know that game, Who'd You Rather?
Mm-hmm.
I want to play What Would You Rather Do.
Okay.
Would you rather sit through this game again tonight or go to the Mannheim Steamroller concert?
Ooh. Wow. Well, it's hockey. I'd have to go with the game.
Would you rather sit through this game tonight or wear a pink Sharks jersey to a 5-0 victory?
That's tough, man. I don't know what to say to that. I don't know. There's no good choice, dude.
Dude, give the honest answer.
Watch this game again.
No, you're a liar. You're a liar. You would wear the pink Sharks jersey and you know it.
If it was a playoff victory, I'd definitely wear the jersey.
All right. Watch this game again or go to the Wiggles concert in very petite track shorts.
Wow. Definitely the hockey game.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
So right, just wanted to clear that up.
There were some good games of the week, dude. Let's touch on those briefly because we have some other topics that we want to talk about, but Flyers and Ducks, 2 victories, the Flyers game especially.
Oh, that was a great game.
It was it was basically the polar opposite of this game in that it was highly entertaining for the benefit of the Sharks as opposed to the detriment. So the Sharks won 6-3 versus the Flyers. That was a lot of fun to watch. Up and down hockey, trading chances, that kind of stuff.
So if you think about how we feel tonight, I'm sure that's how Flyers fans felt on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as, you know, they've got a good team.
They
you know,
do.
We're Flyers believers, yes. As far as, you know, they're going to be around at the end of the season. And, you know, we killed them. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we really, you know, we beat them pretty badly in the end.
Yes.
And that certainly is not a reflection of how good that team is. It's just we got the better of them that night. And I kind of look at it the other way as far as tonight. We were on the receiving end of the beating,
mm-hmm.
and we dished out the beating that night. I liked the physical play of the Sharks.
Yeah, they didn't back down at all
nope.
against the Flyers, which is great. They got a lot of guys that'll push you around. Carcillo and Hartnell gets in your face, and we all know about Chris Pronger. But the Sharks were perfectly willing to stand toe-to-toe and trade shoves after the whistle and drop. There were three fights that night. You know, a lot of great things to be happy about as a Sharks fan that night. So don't be all gloom and doom, because that Flyers game was really something to be proud of.
As was the Ducks win mm-hmm. in Anaheim. Great win by the Sharks. You know, Joe Thornton delivering the game winner. He actually shot the puck.
Yeah.
And
there you go.
You know, another good win on the road. A little Fraser McLaren, George Parros dance down there. And in a game initially where it looked like, you know, where the Ducks kind of jumped all over the Sharks, you know, and it looked like we were going to maybe lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hung in there and they ended up pulling it out.
Yeah, that's
it. Another that was good win against a team that's really scrapping in the Ducks.
Yeah, Ducks aren't good, but it was the night after the Philly game away. So it was a back-to-back, and then one home, one away. I mean, that was a very losable game for the Sharks, even though the Ducks aren't playing very well. Bobby Ryan's hot. Getzlaff is getting hotter. Their goalie situation's a little weird. Their defensive situation's a little weird. But still, the Ducks can win games. And the Sharks managed to pull it out in sort of a tough matchup, and you know, at a tough spot, a spot where, you know, ordinarily you'd think they'd just beat the Ducks the way that they've been playing. But this one was really... the cards were stacked in the Ducks' favor, and the Sharks still managed to win. And that was actually, that was the night, I mentioned this a few months back, there was a huge caravan of Sharks fans that went down to the Ducks game, and they hired some buses or whatever.
Right.
And they went down there, this huge group of fans, and I just got word from our buddy Jeremy that they're going to do this again. So let me find this email from Jeremy, because he gave us the details of this whole thing again. So I know some of you fans may want to take advantage of this, because it's going to be way long in the future. Jeremy said, by the way, dudes, I recently figured out a way to get my Dudes on a Hockey podcast fixings on non-Wednesdays. He takes our entries, sends them to text edit, and then says, start speech. And then it, like a robot voice, reads the blog. So for all those readers out there, or people who don't want to use their eyes like a sucker, text-to-speech our blog entries. Okay. Anyway, Jeremy.
Tonight, with the Hawks in town, both teams will either be pining for missing players or...
Anyway, Jeremy does want to plug the next bus trip. We'll put the link on the blog. You can find it at HF Boards if you look for it. It's going to be the Sunday, March 14th game at the Honda Center, again in Anaheim. Jeremy says this might be two or three times the size of the trip last Saturday, which
wow.
I believe was close to 100 people. So they're gaining some momentum on this thing. So there's some YouTube video. I'll put all this stuff on the blog. Thanks for the update, Jeremy. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to make it yet. We'll have to check my schedule. I don't have it in front of me at the
video is great. It was a true invasion, really.
Yeah.
It must have been fairly irritating for those five Ducks fans that actually cared.
Yeah. And that goal that Joe scored, he like pointed into the stands, because clearly there were a lot of Sharks fans to point at, which is pretty funny. So there it is. Yeah. So I certainly encourage everyone to take part in that because invading the Honda Center will be great. Anyway, the next topic is the Olympics, because the question is, up until tonight, when Thornton, Heatley, and Marlowe were combined at minus 11, that this Thornton, Heatley, and Marlowe line may be the top line for the Canadian Olympic team, and that's something that you know, is hot in the media. Do you think that could happen?
They wouldn't be the top line, but it's going to be really difficult for them to not take all three of them. How can they not take all three of them at this point?
I don't know.
it'd be really hard to justify, I think. You know, I mean, obviously Canada is an embarrassment of riches as far as, you know, the options that they have. You know, they could probably, the guys that don't make the team could probably still beat the U.S. Olympic hockey team.
Let's not go that far.
Dude, I mean, like, you know, some of the guys that are on the bubble, you know, they could be competitive.
Yeah.
They would make the medal round.
I mean, like right now, Ryan Getzlaff is kind of on the bubble.
Sure.
Le Cavalier is on the bubble.
Yeah. Those guys are on the bubble and they're great players.
Carter and Richards, you know, well, Carter and Richards should be there.
Well, I don't know if both of them are going to make it.
Yeah.
So, I think Richards is the one that goes, but Jeff Carter is a really good player. The other one is Dan Boyle. How do you not take Dan Boyle?
I don't know.
This guy, I mean, just watching him play tonight, even though, you know, there were a lot of problems tonight, and he's out there with a foot injury tonight, gutting it out. And it's just, nobody hates losing more than him.
I know. And that's great. Actually, you know, and that reminds me of a guy that sort of turned me into a big-time Sharks fan, Scott Stevens. Scott Stevens hated losing. He hated losing at ping-pong. He hated losing at everything.
Right.
And Dan Boyle has that, too. And maybe sometimes it doesn't make you a very pleasant person, but it can make you a hell of a hockey player. And Dan Boyle is definitely that. You're right. I think he should be there. He should be there. And that they're going to have to make some really tough decisions because those four guys, I don't think... How can you, in good conscience, keep any of those guys out? I mean, they're playing...
It seemed like Marlowe was barely on the list, you know, and Heatley was going to be on the outside looking in. There was talk that Joe wasn't going to make it either, and that Boyle was on the bubble. So, you know, it went all of a sudden to probably when the season started that maybe one of them would make it to now all four of them are going to make it, probably, you know, and, you know, Nabokov's going to be there. Who else is going to be playing in the Olympics?
Joe Pavelski, I think, is going to play for the U.S.
You think so?
Absolutely, yeah. Some of the prospective rosters I've seen, they have Joe on the second or third line. I think Joe has a little bit of cushion, especially since he's been performing pretty well. I mean, he had a goal tonight, although barely counted, but I mean, he's averaging almost a point per game. I think this is his 11th or 12th game, and he has 10 or 11 points.
Right.
So maybe people sort of forget about Pavelski because they see 30 points at the top of the score sheet for Joe Thornton and in the high 20s for Marlowe and Healy, but Pavelski's averaging almost a point per game. So, you know, he's a guy that could make it. I don't know about...
What about Thomas Greiss? Is he going for Germany or do we know?
I'd have to think of who else would play goal. He might be a backup. I don't know who... What about... you think Douglas Murray has an outside chance for Sweden?
Outside chance? Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, I haven't really even looked at that. I was actually just thinking about that as you said it. You know, he's really improved his game. You know, so it's also I'm just laughing because, of course, you know, tonight, you know, they were all balls.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know.
Yes, they were.
But, you know, he's improved his game so much. He really looks like he's turned himself into like a Mike Komisarek type player where he's more than just, you know, some dude running around in the third pairing just trying to hammer you. Like he can play 18, 20 minutes legitimately and play on the kill and be more than sort of a brick wall on skates.
Right.
So I would think he'd get a look. But I don't know how deep they are, dude.
Yeah, we'll be talking more about the Olympics as it gets closer. I think next month or so, they'll probably be making a lot more decisions about all these teams. And, of course, we'll keep you all up to date on the state of your Sharks and whether they're going to go or stick around. Let's see. Okay, let's look forward a little bit here. Edmonton, Vancouver, and Ottawa in the next week. Torrey Mitchell, the word is Torrey Mitchell will be playing in one of the two Canadian games.
I think that some of these other guys are going to be back too. I thought I read that Rob Blake might be back on this trip, that Jody Shelley might be back on this trip. I mean, this could be the hiatus of the Worcester shuttle. Finally.
Yes.
You know, and it probably also spells the end of, you know, Zaleski will go back. Callahan will go back.
Right.
You know,
McLaren, maybe.
McLaren, maybe. It could be Jamie McGinn who goes too because of salary. You know, once Seto comes off, I mean, is Seto coming back on this trip? It seemed kind of iffy whether he would be back. But I'm anxious to see what Torrey Mitchell looks like.
I think everybody is. I think he had 2 points, a goal and two assists. Yeah, in five
maybe
or
he had
six
three
games.
Points. He had 10 penalty minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, he seems to be in the mix there, but he might not have been playing the same kind of minutes he's going to play here as far as, you know, matchups and the role that he's looking to play. But, you know, we haven't really seen him in McLellan style hockey. Yes,
right.
So I'm pretty anxious to see that. You know, we'll probably get you know, starting off against Edmonton is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not playing very well right now.
Not really.
They're really scrambling. That's not a very good hockey team. And I think, you know, that's a really good opportunity for the Sharks to, you know, go home tomorrow, you know, relax if you're Canadian, if you're American, have a great Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I don't know. Will the Canadian guys celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow here?
No, there's a Canadian Thanksgiving. I thought it was a few weeks ago.
So they will not have Thanksgiving.
No.
Well, maybe they'll go over to somebody's house.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And just watch football or something.
Yeah. Rob Blake will have everybody over.
To watch football.
That's right. Yeah. So they should win that game. Vancouver's scrapping a little bit too, dude.
Yeah, but
these are two very winnable games, I think, on the road for
and
the
certainly
Sharks.
Ottawa at home is winnable. I mean, that's the homecoming of Milan Mihalik and Jonathan Chychrun, which inevitably, I mean, we know that Danny Heatley's going to get a lot of press in Edmonton because that was the trade that he nixed. So we know that he's probably going to get booed every time he touches the puck, and now we're going
to
see...
is this his first trip to Canada since... this is Sharks' first trip to Canada this year.
That's right.
So he's going to be under a lot of pressure, mm-hmm. you know, this weekend. Not that I think that's really going to affect him. He doesn't seem to really be, you know, a guy who's going to wilt under pressure. But we haven't seen that yet. Be curious. I mean, if he comes up with a goose egg on this road trip, you know...
That's not going to happen.
No, but... It'd be nice to see them explode. I could very easily see them taking this out on Edmonton on, you know.
Yeah, I could too.
And just sort of venting their collective frustrations on them. So,
right.
You know, Edmonton should have their head up for sure. So I think the Sharks are going to come in a little bit salty. Dude.
And Ottawa's going to be the interesting game because of, you know, the whole trade.
That's going to be an emotional game, I think, for the fans. I think for, you know, the players can say what they want, you know, but... You know, Chychrun and Mihalik are both going to want to make an impression. I'm sure the entire Senators team is going to feel like they have something to prove.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Especially since they got clearly the worst end of that trade. Can anybody honestly debate that?
No, I don't think you can debate that. But I think the factor that goes with it is, you know, what did that do for that team, for their, you know, for their dressing room? You know, they're a playoff team right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and last year they weren't. So, you know, is that enough for them to be happy, for their fans to be happy? I mean, they have zero chance of advancing out of a first round matchup, you know, but is that enough?
I don't think. I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, I don't think.
I didn't either, but right now, you know, the season ended today, I think they're the sixth seed.
There's some teams that are so bad that we didn't anticipate them being that bad, and maybe you know, one of them being Toronto, which is in their division, so they can certainly beat up on them.
Right.
And Montreal certainly isn't nearly.
No, they're in a division that is
not good.
Boston's struggling.
Yeah.
And Buffalo's coming back down to earth.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Ottawa can hang in there, you know, they might have a chance to win that division. I mean, they could legitimately win it and then lose to a team that fell in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, well. Well, dude, I think we're out of time. I think that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey.
But, dude, we were just getting warmed up.
Dude, we were.
Dude, I brought some pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
We got the dinner rolls downstairs.
Mm.
Come on, dude.
Turkey.
Just in a couple more minutes.
Dude, we'll let the listeners get a head start on their Thanksgiving because I know we're posting a little late this week. And thank you all for listening. DudesOnHockey.com, of course, is the website. And questions at DudesOnHockey.com is the email address to email us about anything you might want us to weigh in on about the Sharks.
All right, dude.
Hopefully the next couple of games will be better than the one tonight, dude.
Dude, I'm going to go wait for that fan back by section 108. Call me when we're done.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.